Midnight Radio Network. Eric Carling, Gary McNamara, and retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol, courtesy of Oglu USA. It is Ask the Law for Monday, May 3rd, 2010. Make sure that you get in 800-288-9227. All the information, questions, and answers are up to date. As of today, can change without notice. Remember, all comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Go to askthelaw.org. Click on the big red button that says email Ask the Law anytime and submit your questions. Gary, how are you?
Not doing bad, and hopefully the show will be a lot better than Tiger Woods' golf round on Friday.
Well, yeah, he didn't make the cut, did he?
It was a meltdown. It was a meltdown.
Yeah. You ever had a meltdown like that yourself?
In golf?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not Tiger Woods.
Yeah. Wait, it's funny.
I've seen Tiger Woods, and I know Tiger Woods.
Have you ever had a better game than he had on Friday?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I've shot a 77 before, a 77 and a 78. So, yes, I have had it, but not on that golf course.
Let's not confuse it with the facts.
Right. That's right. Don't bring it. I'm not going to finish a sentence here.
Don't bring that up.
Yes, I've had a better round. Let's not finish a sentence.
That's right. Trooper Dial, how are you?
Good morning.
Welcome to Ask the Law for May. We were getting on the elevator coming up, and it's just impossible almost to believe that we're halfway through 2010 already.
Yes.
May. Here we are, CSA 2010. You and I talked about this, and it's worth repeating. We talked about this the last time you were here. A lot of people are saying, well, CSA 2010 is going to become CSA 2011. It's going to become CSA 2011. It's actually not CSA 2011. It is CSA 2010. It's just that the infrastructure for all this database is taking longer than anticipated. Is that what's going on here?
That's what's going on.
All right. There have been a lot of questions around CSA 2010, and that's the understatement of the year. The one we get on a regular basis now by email is the whole thing about measuring someone's neck, that if you have a 17-inch neck or greater under CSA 2010, you're not going to be qualified to drive truck. That's what one driver actually asked me by email. I said, no, that's not the case. I do know that they are looking into sleep apnea. We do know that there may be some new DOT physical requirements. But what light can you shed on that if someone sends you an email that says, hey, I understand a 17-inch neck may put you out of service? What is your reply to such questions?
My reply would be that the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration has put together a group of medical doctors that they call a medical review board.
Right.
They are tasked with rewriting the medical qualifications for drivers. Mm-hmm. At first, they thought it would be here probably sometime last year, sometime this year, but as a result of the settlement on the hours of service lawsuit last year, the hours of service rewrite are on the front burner. CSA 2010 is on the front burner. And the medical review process has now taken a back seat.
Okay.
So, I don't look for anything to happen. If it does, possibly late next year, possibly even to 2012.
On the medical review?
On the medical qualifications.
Okay. But essentially, as for right now, that is separate from CSA 2010.
Right. And I've had several people send in questions to Ask the Law dealing with drivers being required to go through a sleep apnea study.
Right.
And my response to them is there is nothing in the regulations that mandates a sleep study. Now, granted, a driver or the doctor, when he is examining the driver, there are some studies that they have come up with that allow the doctor to go and require the sleep apnea study if he can take and obtain enough information from the driver to warrant. As an example, you start looking at some of the items in the medical driver qualification portion,
mm-hmm. right.
and it talks about drivers that have the narcolepsy
mm-hmm.
and things
mm-hmm.
of this nature.
Right.
So if the doctor that is doing the examination can obtain enough information from the driver that he has one of these sleep disorders,
right.
then they can go ahead and require the sleep apnea study.
Right.
But if the driver goes in, they can't find anything wrong,
mm-hmm.
there's no signs of a sleep disorder, they cannot make the driver because his neck's too big or his body mass index is of a certain size.
Right.
They cannot make him do a sleep study.
Right. There was, in fact, a question about these sleep studies came up here recently, and someone else mentioned that to me. They said, well, it's not just sleep apnea. It could be narcolepsy.
Right.
How prevalent is that behind the wheel? I would think if you're a narcoleptic, the last thing you would want to do is get behind the wheel.
You figure that would be something that would just make it so you could get your medical card.
Well, or self-disqualification.
Right. But here again, you know, there's drugs out there, there's diets
right.
and things of this nature that drivers
right.
can take and
right.
use
right.
to prolong or not prolong, but make it to where if he is active,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't kick in.
Right, right. If you look at the truck crash causation study that came out several years ago, this is something that the ATA was using as evidence for the and this was presented to Congress, by the way, several years ago. But this particular truck crash causation study showed they were at the time the ATA was pushing for governors on trucks, and if you look at that report, that particular report showed that the number one factor, driver-related factor, if you do all of the combination between illegal drugs and over-the-counter drugs and prescription drugs, the number one cause, if you add up those numbers in those three categories, overwhelmingly was drug use behind the wheel at one level or another.
Right.
Everything from over-the-counter prescription or over-the-counter non-prescription to prescription to illegal drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Has that always been such a huge factor for these drivers? Because you mentioned that just a moment ago, that there's, you know, these over the counter drugs, maybe an antihistamine, something as simple as that, that could have a driver essentially nodding off or just simply not alert enough to be behind the wheel. How hard is that to detect? How big of a problem is that, do you believe?
It's not hard at all.
Yeah.
It's not hard at all. I was involved in the large truck crash causation study here in the city of Dallas.
Yeah.
And any time we had a crash that met the criteria,
mm-hmm.
typically the Dallas Police Department would contact our dispatcher,
mm-hmm.
their DPS,
mm-hmm.
and they would say, we got a crash, such a location, and we would immediately contact one of the contractors
right.
that we were dealing with, and they would take and show up.
Right.
We would have a report that we did. The contractor had a much more extensive report, and their report that they looked at was any over-the-counter, any legal prescription, or any non-legal prescription
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
drugs. And that was where all of this information came from.
Right, right. Well, it was interesting to see that as you look at that. I was kind of, I don't know if I was surprised, but it certainly was an eye-opener for me to see that at that level, those numbers, I guess, and have that actually quantified about how much overall drug use was going on behind the wheel. If you want to get in, drivers, 800-288-9227. If you have a question about hours of service, you have a question about CSA 2010, retired senior trooper Monty Dial is here, courtesy of Old Blue USA. It is Ask the Law, and we will get back to it in just a moment. Stand by.
It's the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law with retired senior trooper Monty Dial. Welcome and good morning. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
It is Ask the Law for May 3rd, 2010. All the information and answers to questions can change without notice, and we do know that this information is up to date as of today.
May 3rd.
May 3rd.
I just can't.
I know. I'm looking up, and I see some stuff that we have here in the computer, and it shows me, it's trying to show me that it's outdated. And I'm like, no, it's not. Oh, yes, it is. It's May 3rd. It's not April anymore. Trooper Dial is here, courtesy of Old Blue USA, and we want to let you know that the statements that are made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. You can always get your CMV questions answered if you just simply go to AskTheLaw.org. Great website, AskTheLaw.org. Click on that big red button that says Email Ask the Law. Coming up here in just a few minutes, we'll talk about Road Check 2010, what to expect. That's coming up about a month from now.
Yes.
So we'll talk about that. Let's talk about this story that came out a couple days ago. The FMCSA has a new CSA 2010 presentation for drivers. I talked with a couple of carriers recently who told me, and one of the carriers is involved in the pilot project, so they're kind of getting up to speed as a result of that, as a result of that involvement. One of the other carriers believes that they're way behind the ball on this. Do you think we're? Do you believe is it your interpretation here that much of the industry right now is still kind of behind the curve as far as the learning process is concerned with CSA 2010, as the industry as a whole, are we up to speed yet?
If the motor carrier has a safety director and that safety director is not reading as much as he can get his hands on,
right,
CSA 2010,
yeah,
when it is rolled out, they are going to be so far behind.
Yeah,
it's going to take them a while to catch up with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And this is exactly what we're hearing from some of these carriers, both on both sides. Those again that are already involved in it, and
right,
those who are kind of learning right now and aren't involved in any of these pilot projects. How many states do we have right now that are going through the so-called demonstration version of CSA 2010? Is it six?
I think it's up to eight.
Eight now.
They started with four.
Right.
Then they added two more,
mm-hmm,
and then they added two more.
Right.
So I think right now the count is up to eight.
Yeah. Explain the scoring system again for drivers who don't know about the scoring system with certain infractions under CSA 2010. One of the things that you and I have talked about in the past is one of the concerns can be something as simple as far as equipment is concerned, can be something as simple as your tires.
Correct.
How does this scoring system work?
What happens is under CSA 2010, you've got seven basics that they're talking about.
Right.
It deals with equipment, deals with the driver, deals with hours of service, deals with alcohol and drug testing,
mm-hmm,
and deals with crashes, and I don't remember what the other ones were.
Right.
But what they do is every time a driver goes through a roadside inspection, if any of those violations that are noted on the DOT roadside inspections, those violations, and here again, he doesn't have to be issued a citation. It can be a warning that shows up on this inspection report. Any of those violations that show up on there will have a direct impact on the driver's score that he will carry with him, regardless of whether he goes from one company to another company to another company. It follows him. That's right. His score.
Right. And collectively, that means that these scores can add up for these carriers who are at pretty great risk because they can ultimately have their doors closed for good.
Correct. That is correct. The driver, and this is something that I get a lot of emails through ASA Law on, is how is it going to affect my CDL?
Okay, I want to answer that question in just a few minutes. That's a great teaser. Leave it right there. How's this going to affect the CDLs out there? And that's the big question. Drivers, if you've got a question about CSA 2010, 800-288-9227. Get on Ask the Law now.
On the Midnight Radio Network. Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law. If you want to get your question in for retired senior trooper Monty Dial, 800-288-9227, drivers, 800-288-9227. Gary McNamara with Eric Harley.
It is Ask the Law for Monday, May 3rd, 2010. All the information is up to date. As of today, can change without notice. Comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. AskTheLaw.org is the website. You can submit your CMV questions anytime there. Just click on that big red button that says Email Ask the Law. Before the break, we were talking about CSA 2010. And coming up in just a few minutes, I want to talk about CVSA, which is the Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance, and Road Check 2010. All right. The CSA 2010, the question has become, at what point does this start to, as an individual driver, what point does this start to affect my CDL? Where does this start to prohibit my ability to drive when I get so many things under CSA 2010 on my driver's score?
It never does.
Never does.
Never
gets
does.
To that point.
Never gets to that point. Now,
okay.
What will happen is a lot of states have gone into what they call a point system.
Right.
If a driver gets moving violations, the state will assign a point value to those moving violations. Once a driver accrues X number of points, however many points that state says you have, then they can go in and either penalize you, make you pay a fee to keep the license, or they can come in and suspend you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, under 383.51 is the list of major disqualifiers.
Right.
Speeding 15 or more in a commercial vehicle, following too close,
right,
unsafe lane change, reckless driving. If a driver accrues two of those within a year, then he loses his CDL portion only for 60 days. If he gets a third one, then it goes to 120 days. But those are the only four that will take your CDL away from you. You'll still have an operator's license, but you get any two of the four disqualifiers, then FMCS or the state will take your CDL away from you. But CSA 2010 will not have an impact of any consequences on the driver's CDL.
You mentioned that they can have their CDL suspended up to, is 120 days the maximum?
Oh, no, it keeps going. It keeps going.
Yeah, all right. And in that case, again, that is a temporary situation.
Right.
You would not have your CDL completely revoked forever.
Right. There are some in there that you can get a lifetime disqualification, but that's if you're convicted of manufacturing, delivering controlled substances and stuff like that.
Right. All right. There's plenty of questions when it comes to this driver pre-screening database.
Okay.
All right. This is something that they essentially got off the ground at the end of 2009. So they've been building it for months. What information, during the break we were talking, and you're telling me that this information that's in there comes from 3 years retroactively? Or is this a three-year building database? How does this work, and what information would go in there? Because I'm thinking about RoadCheck 2010. Now, RoadCheck 2010 is coming up June 8th through the 10th.
Mm-hmm.
During these 3 days, we're going to have inspections all over North America.
Correct.
It's an international event.
Yes. Yes.
But here in the States, if you go through these inspections, there's something notable. So, that information, anything that's notable, whether you get a citation or not, even if it's just a warning, is going to go into this driver pre-screening database, right?
What they did was they wanted to kick it off by first bringing the driver pre-screening mm-hmm. on board first.
Right.
Okay. What they do is a motor carrier registers with FMCSA,
mm-hmm.
and for $10 per inquiry, they can get a driver's 3-year data.
Mm-hmm.
So the data had to come from somewhere. It just automatically did not appear. What they did was they went back and picked up prior year's data. A motor carrier can get what's called a motor carrier management information system report.
Right.
It gives them a 2-year history of of all inspections and all crashes.
And that dates pre-CSA 2010.
Oh, yeah.
That's something that's been around for a while.
This goes back into the 90s.
Okay.
So what they did was they just got some computer programmer to take and write a program so that it would take the inspections that showed up under a carrier and now put it in driver order.
Right.
So that when a prospective employer wanted to find out what this driver had in his history, they could get it. So the 3 years are already there.
Okay, so, and that's from the beginning. Those 3 years go back 3 years.
Right.
So it's not just anything that might come up in this RoadCheck 2010. Drivers should also, I guess, be concerned about anything that would apply going 3 years before.
Correct.
So it is retroactive.
Yes.
And it's going to be a rolling 3 years.
Yes.
So as we move along, anything that's whatever is the oldest is going to fall off of that report
mm-hmm.
and won't be available.
Right.
All right. 800-288-9227. If you want to get on board, we'll talk more about RoadCheck 2010, but let's get to the questions. 800-288-9227.
Let's talk to Dave and I-30. Dave, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network, and you're on Ask the Law with Trooper Dial. Welcome. Hi.
Yes, good evening. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Yes, I wanted to ask Trooper Dial to find out if there was a forgiveness period. For example, if you had maybe an improper lane change or something that's not egregious, would that be rejected after a certain time period? Or is there anything in the framework of the CSA 2010 to address that issue?
Well, of course, Trooper Dial, we just mentioned that it's a rolling 3 years, so if that shows up, then at a point when it is 3 years old, becomes older than 3 years old, it's going to fall off. But is there another answer here?
What they do is, under CSA 2010, anything within the first 12 months, if you went through a roadside inspection yesterday and there were some violations noted on that inspection report, those violations would carry a weight of 3. You go a year from now, then you have what we call a time frame from 12 to 24 months. Those would carry a weight value of 2.
Ah,
24 to 36 months, it would carry a weight value of 1. After 36 months, it drops off of the driver's data.
I see. And was that now that's separate and apart from the way a carrier may look at a driver's work profile, for example?
No, it'll be the same.
Oh, it'll be the same.
Yeah,
I see.
It'll be the same.
Now, well, are you referring to the DAC report, Dave?
Not particularly the DAC report. More so, I guess, like a work history kind of a report.
No, what they'll do is when a prospective employer or even your current employer, whenever they submit for the driver's data, what it's going to do is it's going to show them how many roadside inspections the driver has gone through. It will show the violations that driver has got off of those roadside inspections, so that you can sit there and, just like I stated earlier, they can take and go and pull up your name with your driver's license number in your state, and if you had a roadside inspection yesterday, it would show that on 5-2 of 2010, you went through a roadside inspection. It would tell you where the inspection was located at, and then it would give you a list of the violations that showed up on that inspection.
Does it tie a particular driver, if that, let's say the driver is a company driver or an owner-operator that's leased on, is that going to show an affiliation with any particular carrier in that database?
The pre-screening will give you a history of the number of carriers the driver has driven for the last 3 years.
Interesting.
So if you're one of these individuals that you're with this company 6 months,
and then you move
then
around.
You move around, go to the next company, and so on and so forth.
It's going to show that.
It will show that. But here's the key. The driver has to go through a roadside inspection.
So if you jumped around every 6 months, but you went through no roadside inspections,
there would be no data.
No data on that.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Well, hopefully that answers some questions for you, Dave. We do appreciate that. If you want to get in, 800-288-9227. It is Ask the Law. We do this every first Monday with retired senior trooper Monty Dial, in courtesy of Old Blue USA. Again, get on board right now at 800-288-9227.
It's the Midnight Radio Network. It's a Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law with retired senior trooper Monty Dial, 800-288-9227. Let's get right back to your calls here. We go to Johnny in Kansas. Johnny, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Good morning, guys. I went through a roadside inspection and was written up for two offenses. I got a question about both of them. One, I can't find where you are to have reflective tape on the top of your mud flap on your tractor. Now, I didn't get cited for that, but I did for not having a visual low air warning light. I had the buzzer, but I didn't have the light.
Okay, here's what we want to do. In fact, if you will, Johnny, can you hang on through the news break? Because I want to make sure we get a complete answer for you take care of this, because this is going to be important going forward, especially, well, everything is always important, but I mean, you're going to want to know the answers to it, and we want to make sure we give you plenty of time on the other side of the break. But we get a lot of questions on reflector tapes and lights and everything else over the years. And I think under CSA 2010, you're going to want to make sure you pay particular attention, especially if you're not the one responsible for that equipment and the upkeep of that equipment. So stand by. Ask the Law continues next
on the Midnight Radio Network.